This is where real and virtual motorsport meet. From the ITA studio, to the paddock, to the sim rig. Pull up a chair, pour a drink. This is the Into the Apex podcast.
Into the Apex podcast.
Into the Apex, a week out here in the month of May from the Indianapolis 500 Roadshow. Tyler and Bradley in the ITA studio headquarters and Rob Gregoire up in Canada. The three of us are holding it down, at least for the first part here in the remote studio for the show. And last show here remote for a week. We're going to be at Indianapolis at Speedway, Indiana, Bradley, for that roadshow. Third straight year that the show has been out there. And kind of carrying on a bit of a tradition now. And Rob, I'm sorry that you're not going to be there.
I'm excited.
You thought about it last year. I'm excited. I'm pumped. We got it kind of planned out. But get on intotheapex.com. Follow us on social media for some of our movements there. And get together with us if you're going to be out there next weekend. So maybe we'll touch on it just a tad here tonight. But really, we're coming off of, in the sim racing, iRacing world, the Nürburgring 24. And in our minds, it's almost like it didn't happen. But I know for a lot of people, it did happen, and it's a fun event. In our case, it was a shit circus. And it typically, I think it always has been for us. I mean, to be very centered on us.
Yes and no.
It's often a shit circus.
We've never finished it.
We've never finished it.
Finished what?
Oh, we did. Didn't we finish
the Nürburgring 24?
Yes, we did. We did with the BMW GT3. We did.
GT3?
Yeah, I'm sure we did.
Yes, we did with the GT3, because I recall, I mean, we had issues, but we did finish it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
The first year, I believe the BMW GT3 was an option, the new one. Which is what I want to do next year. But anyway, that's an aside.
Well, it just was not good. I started the thing out, and it was a very terrifying first lap, I think it was. Everybody was watching me. Bradley and Rob, at least, were watching me. We were in the Aston Martin GT4, and just a massive pileup at turn one, I think, at the start. I mean, huge pileup at the bottom of the hill there at that very sharp corner. And Rob's guiding me through, and Bradley's watching, and Bradley just panics. He just yells, "Stop!
Stop! Stop the car!"
And I hear while I'm trying to navigate
this. I haven't spotted in a long time.
While I'm trying to navigate this shit, all I hear is Bradley yell, "Stop!" And then I hear Rob say, "Don't tell him to stop. Cease fire."
Well, that's the thing. It didn't, like, I think he was just forgetting the context of where he was saying stop. Like, we weren't just in like an open practice session or something. Right. Like, he was just like, "Stop." Well, like, stop. One, it would cause an accident. Two, it's a race.
Yeah.
You don't stop in a race just because.
Hit reset. Yeah, that's reset. Exactly right. You don't just,
I just didn't want you to barrel into anybody. I'm trying to tell you, it's like I'm a side. I mean, you are a side, what, a side side seat driver.
You prefer being barreled into.
Yeah, right.
You realize that
I don't want to barrel into somebody. I want to. Yeah,
that's what happens that's what happens at Indy and different tracks. I mean, Bradley's just. I mean, it was loud too. It was very dramatic.
Well, yeah, I was. It was a big pileup. I wanted to make sure you could see it. I was doing my duty.
You were doing your duty.
I was doing my duty. What are you doing?
I've got an example once I get queued up here of what Bradley like when he panics.
Do I want to
as a spotter?
When
he panics as a spotter, this is what he sounds like. It's that scream. Rob, have you heard the screaming goat?
I have.
This is Bradley. Pile up, Rob's pile up in turn one. Pile up in turn one. Bradley's on the comms.
Not that far from the truth.
It really is.
A bit of a squeal that comes, and then just trying to stop the entire race. Just stare it over.
Well, so there is adrenaline flowing.
When Bradley and I are driving, we typically are cheap, and we don't get flights often. We once in 3 years we've gotten a flight to a race. We typically will make the long road trip, and we really do love those road trips. I mean, we're road trip guys. We get tired on the trip back, but the trip there, we are running on pure adrenaline, and we're loving it. You know, we're playing tunes loud, we're getting deaf before we even get there. But we're bad with each other in the car because, well, one, we bicker like no tomorrow. But two, we're side seat drivers. Whoever's the passenger, if you're braking too late or you're closing up on somebody too quick, you get a quick whoa. Whoa!
Well, yeah, you
panic. We panic each other, and we do it to each other, in the real car, almost in the same role as a observer, spotter. So of course, at Nürburgring, he does the same thing at the opening, and completely makes me shit my pants.
You were fine. What's going on. You're exaggerating.
I did actually a fantastic job, and Rob can attest to that. I did a fantastic job navigating.
We absolutely did. You avoid a lot of carnage.
That's a skill.
I binge it with zero traffic. So there you go. That's all I really need to fucking know.
Yeah. It's a very big, it's a significant skill, I think, in sim racing because, I mean, I don't know if it's different in VR for you guys, but with the 2D monitor, and for me, a single monitor, you're only aware of so much. And I feel like maybe it takes a second to react to those pileups because you can't, you really don't get an awareness of what's beside you. You have to kind of imagine based on what you see in the mirror and then ahead of you. I mean, you're just looking ahead. In VR, do you guys turn your head to any slight degree to see what's,
yes.
Does it help you get through yes. those kind of pileups?
No.
Rob says no. You say yes. No.
Not to get through pileups. You can still only see what's in front of you. As far as racing goes, yes, I could turn my head, look into the apex.
Well, I know that.
Into the apex. Get it? Get it, fellas?
Okay.
I don't do it for any type of like purist or immersion type thing, right. But it's something where think about most race cars, like anything at a high level now with the seats and everything they have, the Hans devices, they have very little room to move.
Right.
They can see to their mirrors and everything. Everything else they rely on a spotter for.
Yeah. That's
or something or someone in their ear. Right. So I almost approach it in the same way, just naturally. I find turning my head too much takes me offline and stuff. So it's really just very subtle movements and listening to what's in my ears. But the thing with VR that you don't get, because with a single monitor, especially depending on size and distance and stuff, you might get a really poor field of view if you were to use a calculator, what would be considered a poor field of view. But if you have your field of view correctly figured, it creates a one-to-one scale from the screen to your real environment. So technically, if something's beside you in the sim, you can assume it's beside you in your world, essentially, right? So that's how you kind of gain that spatial awareness. But VR just gives you that naturally because everything's just, a one-to-one replication.
To me, what I've noticed, not to get back into a VR versus monitor conversation, we've done it over the years, but what I noticed, and it's been some time since I was in Bradley's VR, but I know it's the setup that he has now. What I noticed with it, I kind of got sucked into it for maybe a week when I was down visiting, when I lived in another state. The track seemed bigger. I mean, obviously the track seems bigger. So I feel like I have more real estate to work with. The track seems smaller with what I'm working with now. I feel like with triple monitors, I've done some I did triple monitors on R Factor at the track in Asheville, and you get a wider sensation, but my brain almost doesn't. It's more difficult for my brain and eyes and everything to just kind of compute the way it's, you know, flat monitor than two winged out monitors. You know how it's kind of circled like that. Like there's a boost.
I would fall asleep racing how you do.
No, I get into it.
Yeah, I would.
I get into it.
I would fall.
My back hurts before anything.
Not to get anything too technical, but in video game development, one of the main ways you perceive speed to the person playing, allow them to perceive how fast they're moving, is your field of view. The smaller field of view you have, the slower everything looks like it's going by. So that's one thing I like about having the VR, or like I said, maybe on a triple monitor rig, is that it just feels like you're moving fast. Faster. I found whenever I tested your wheel when I was there, after you first got the DD, the CSL, I remember testing it, and that's the first thing I felt like. I felt like I was inching down the track.
You were all beside. We talked about it, I think, while you were in our studio, all of us together, Daytona 2022. You were like, what is this? You were very, had a strong reaction, and I want to say it was not a tasteful one. To my whole setup, it is a weird setup. I mean, I literally, and I've
That's
said
pretty standard though.
It is, but I mean, people. I visited some folks, met some folks for the first time in Ohio a month ago who were, I found out, in iRacing. I didn't know it. And I go up to see what their rig is, what his rig is. And it's a Fanatec like you have, Bradley, which is, what is that one again?
The Club Sport 2.5.
Yeah, it's that.
Discontinued now.
It's that one with a round Fanatec wheel with the pedals that I have, the CSL pedals, whatever they are, you know, load cell pedal. It's decent. It's the lower end for Fanatec, but does the trick. It's all of that hooked onto a, basically like what I could describe as a music stand. Like, it's a straight stand. The pedals are down here on the floor. There's a rod going up from the base where the pedals are, and then a base for the wheels. It's very basic. You slide it to the wall, you slide it under your computer desk, and roll up your computer chair, and there you go. Your feet on the pedals are keeping it based. It's not attached to anything. And I'm like, this is a setup I didn't even know could exist, but that's how that's done. That's how it was being done in this particular household as a sim racer.
I mean, there's varying...
Happily so, too, by the way.
But there's varying levels to how you could do it. You don't have to have the million-dollar rig to be successful.
I mean, I'll tell you what, I almost missed the days of the Logitech, gear-driven wheel that was on my computer desk because two reasons. The first is my back never hurt with my computer chair. Never had back issues. I could quadruple stint, and I was comfortable as could be. My set rig, my back kills me on a double stint. That's the biggest problem for me. I know I've talked about it on the show before. Harumph, harumph, my back. But it's true. It's a difference. I've sacrificed that. But also, I don't race ovals as much as I've talked about on the show. And I was fast on ovals with that Logitech wheel, even though it was the low-end equipment. I made it work for me like Timmy Hill did back during the COVID NASCAR.
But could you go
races.
Back?
That's the question.
Would you want to? I could not.
It's in the top of my closet right beside the studio.
You could.
I got it. It's my backup
I
wheel.
Would not. No, you would. But you would miss it.
No, you'd miss it. But then after like a couple of weeks, like you'd forget.
Yeah, you
would. Would you though, Rob?
No.
I think you would.
If you knew what it was like, you'd always dream of it.
VR helps.
Well, VR does
all that. You can see, right?
You can. I always forget about the actual wheel that's in front of me. And all you see in VR is the actual wheel of the race car that you're driving. So that's why it breaks my immersion. Like if I drive the McLaren GT4 with its like square wheel, that breaks the immersion for me. But if I'm racing like, say, I mean, the IndyCar, Mercedes GT3 where the wheel's exactly dimensioned just like the Fanatec Formula wheel, it's perfect. Because, I mean, there's no lag. Tyler probably doesn't realize there's no lag. I mean, it's the same, I guess, on a monitor, but there's no lag to where when I turn my hands
and see
the wheel and the hands in the sim in front of me through my headset.
You would have more input lag than Tyler would.
Yeah, maybe.
That's the thing. You would.
But I don't notice it.
No, you wouldn't. It's on such a small scale, right? Like, there's certain types of games and stuff where that thing might be somewhat important. I've heard people try to make the case for it in sim racing, and I've never bought it.
Yeah. I don't notice it. It doesn't impact me.
If you're fast, you're fast.
Yeah. Yep.
That's just what it comes down to.
And Rob, I'm fast.
He's been a little more than me lately, but...
Oh, I crushed you.
That's not what we're here about.
That's what we're here about. That's why I'm here. That's why I wake up in the morning.
I'm sure. Another thing, something that was kind of on my mind this week, thinking about that first right-hander, that sharp right-hander, and it's really another sharp left-hander at Nürburgring. That corner every year gets me kind of... just kind of wringing my hands and trying to figure it out. I realized for myself, and I want to kind of ask you guys, I don't think I brought this up to you off air at all, but it's something that's been on my mind a lot. It's something that bothers me. I've really intended to ask somebody like Daniel Murad when he's been on the show, because it's something I think I could use some coaching on, and that's those hairpin corners. I feel like I'm suck at hairpin corners. We were racing at Hockenheim this week as the iRacing IMSA series was there, and you all know that sharp hairpin at the end of that really long straight at Hockenheim. I feel like I suck there. I feel like I suck at the one at Sebring. You all know what I'm talking about. I struggle at these sharp hairpins, and I just feel like it takes me ages to get through it. Is that just me being over anxious about it, or is that your guys' experience?
Well, I used to struggle. I know last year when we first started practicing, not last year, the first year we did NURB, And I remember trying to figure out that first corner was really hard.
Yeah.
And I struggled with it in the Aston too, actually, until I got my view in the car set up right.
That was something you said was significant. You felt like you were way down low in the Aston Martin.
I was absolutely. And I was I actually thought of this during the race after that, or some point in my stint. What if iRacing had a feature? I think it's weird that you have to go into each car and you can like adjust it. It's nice that you can go in. So whatever car you want, you can move yourself around it inside and like make yourself comfortable.
Yeah.
It's weird that they don't have something where you can set your height as a driver. So if you want it to be realistic to your size, it would automatically know kind of how to do that in a car. Like, yeah. It doesn't seem that hard.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because you are setting, it's called the driver height in the thing. So they have a default height set and you can adjust it. So like, why wouldn't you just be able to set it for everything? So when you go into a car, that's how it would look like if you were in it.
That's the first thing I do when I jump car. I mean, every time I'm on the rig, the first thing I do is adjust my height based on the car I'm in. So and I have to change it for every
first jump. Time I ever I did it. Never did
really.
That
I do it.
I never did it. Yeah. I tried it when you told me to do it in the Aston, and I just didn't like it.
Oh, I do it.
You might have went too high or something. Like, I don't know, right? Like, it's kind of hard to say.
Oh, I mean, it messed with my check is in VR. When you move around, you can see obviously in the mirrors, the real mirrors of the car. And if it's just like in a real car, when you get in and somebody else has driven it, you have to adjust the mirrors. So if I can look, like you said, if I can keep my head still and glance left to right and see perfectly in the blind spots in the mirrors, I don't adjust it, because when I do adjust it up and down, I may be able to see better over the, you know, over the hood of the car, but the mirrors are messed up for me. So I don't mess with it.
That's funny, because there's no solution for the problem of not being able to see over the hood other than doing your driver height, but there's several solutions for your mirrors.
Don't you fucking say it, you goddamn motherfucker.
Virtual mirrors, fuck spotters, you don't need those
fuck
mirrors. You just don't.
Fuck you. Yeah.
I don't.
Immersion.
What? Why is this?
Immersion. Why is this such a... Because he's told me this for... I'll admit, I've had a few accidents.
For big events.
Wait, a few accidents. I'll admit I had a few accidents. Wait, what?
I'll admit I've had a few accidents where I didn't have as well enough spatial awareness. But overall...
Why does that not train
the immersion, to me, is still worth more.
Why doesn't that train you?
But the immersion isn't gone. It's still there. It absolutely
I'm telling you, this big rectangle of a mirror... Over top of
and you make it small.
I don't know how to do
and
that.
And move
Rob.
It. I could show you in like a second.
I don't know how to do that.
So
Rob.
You use Rob on your VR.
Rob, I don't know how to move the black boxes, Rob.
How do you manage?
What? Show me.
How do you manage at all, Bradley?
Who?
Bradley. Well, I managed to beat you quite a bit. So
okay.
He managed on mirrors that aren't even actually mirrors. They're just little virtual.
But
mirrors.
They're the mirrors of the car.
But they don't work like mirrors in real life.
Kind of do. Don't,
not that accurate. They kind of do.
Because if you, Rob, haven't you noticed if you turn them on and you move your head around that what you see in there adjusts based on your perspective?
Those mirrors, Bradley. What Rob is saying, I think, is those mirrors that you're dead set
and
on.
And it does kill
into.
Performance. Those mirrors do cut a lot of frame rates.
They're just little screens, just like the more convenient.
If you want to get to the meta of it, Tyler, none of it's real.
They're less convenient.
For God's sake.
They're less conveniently located screens.
Yes. Yeah. You just took your virtual mirror, split it into two small ones, and stuck it on either side.
And I like that better. I like it better.
Well, that's what he did effectively by using the side mirror and not using it.
I feel like it. I'm with you now. I understand what you're trying to say.
I like it better.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You're. Basically, you have screens in another location, so just...
And it doesn't work with every car, but there's a few cars where you can, like, say, if you go into your config file for iRacing, you can make it so that virtual mirror is three different sizes by the value you put in that file. So you can make it small by default, a lot smaller than it normally is, and then drag it to somewhere in the car where it almost feels like a rear view mirror, you know what I mean? There's ways you can almost trick yourself, but, like, in the end, for a big event where it's like a 24-hour race where you got everything on the line, like, why wouldn't you want to just have some safeguards?
Make
sure you have all the information you need, especially if someone's not spotting for you. Just something like that.
I don't want to race with some asshole that's going to sit here and tell me, well, 3 out of every 10 times I crash because I don't know what's going on around me.
But I
have my head up my ass.
It's not that bad.
Okay. Whatever.
Maybe 3 times ever in my career of racing.
That's 3 times too many, in my opinion, if I'm your teammate.
But you're still going to you're going to wreck because your field of view is probably off.
My field of view is fine. I'm going to wreck because my eyes get bigger
because
than my ability.
Because you can't see anything. You can't turn your head and look.
I'm fine.
Guys, neither of you guys wrecked. I did.
Yeah. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
I'm here haranguing you guys.
Thanks, Rob. You piece of shit.
Yeah. So. We got off on another tangent. That's what we do here. But, I mean, Rob, you kind of talked a bit about Bradley, as far as those hairpin corners. I want to just get a...
Yeah, let's get back to that.
A touch of that because that's... I need coaching on that because I feel like it takes me forever to get through those corners. I feel like I'm not just doing it right. I think I break too late in those and I'm just, I don't know. I don't understand what it is. There's something mentally to me with doing those corners that I struggle.
I used to struggle with the Sebring one for sure too.
Well, I know Sebring. I'm
you
solid.
You did Hockenheim a lot this week.
I'm good at
I did
it now.
Once. Oh, okay. That one, I mean, I was in the Mercedes.
That one kills me.
Honestly, at Hockenheim, that's not the corner that kills me. The one that kills me is the one after the start finish line.
Well, yeah, Hockenheim.
Where
just, I'm not.
You have to stab the brakes, and then you just. I don't know. I've hit
Hockenheim.
That
I'm
corner
not
way too many times.
I don't have the flow.
There's
down.
A lot of tricky. It's a small track. It feels straightforward, but it is pretty tricky. There's a lot of bends in it that are not as straightforward as they appear.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that track. I don't have the rhythm down to that at all. Hats off to anybody out there that does. A lot of the
I find hairpins just all about getting back on the throttle, like all racings, like getting back on the throttle. But like you really just have to go slow. It's almost I find the way to go through them faster is to feel at first like this feels like I'm going through it really slow.
Well, then that's
but chances are when you are, you're back on that throttle.
Yeah, that's my problem. I think I'm going in too quick and I'm too slow out, and that's the big problem. Is it's a psychological thing of don't break so late because I think I'm a habitual late breaker. Comfortable. I want to push the limits of late braking on there. What comes to mind on that big time is the little chicane before the hill at Road Atlanta. Is I just want to jab it at like the 100 mark, the very last line, and cut through that curb. And
it depends on the car too, right? So yeah, there's going to be some subtleties there. But like back to like the NURB turn one, like that one's all about the first part, reading the first part of it as a hairpin. And the second part is not so much of a hairpin, really. It's not really a chicane either. It's like you really got to go out wide on the first part of it, suck it right back to the inside, and a late turn in on the second.
Yeah.
And that way you're just able to hit the throttle. And you're not, a lot of people are turning a big wide radius out of it. And it really should be more of a straight shot out of it.
That's what I was doing. And that's why this was on my mind this week, to the point that I bring it up a week later, is I felt like every time I took that little complex at Nürburgring in the GT4, especially in the GT4, I felt like I was just out there doing autocross or something. Like I was out there fucking around. Like I'm like, what am I doing through here? Am I just going to slip and slide through here for a whole minute? Like it just felt ridiculous. I felt like as good as I could do, as much of a flow as I could get around the whole thing, which was, I was feeling good about it. It took me 3 years to finally maybe feel good about it. But that one.
The only reason I figured it out this time was because of the driver height thing. To go back to that.
That's why. Yeah, that's crazy.
So just being able to see it properly, I just couldn't see the turns the way I just thought. I was more or less guessing at where I was sometimes. So
The Aston Martin GT4 is one where it's a small window to see out of. I feel like it's like really a bulky dash. Another one that's hard to see out of, the BMW GT3.
Really,
I feel like you have a little tiny portal. Well,
that one you feel like you're sat quite far back.
Something about it, I feel like I'm...
You feel like you're way far away from the wheel and the dash. Yeah, that's my perspective from VR. I still am fine with it.
That BMW GT3 just is kind of a flat car to me.
I enjoy it.
We did the iRacing cars or a box of chocolates or whatever cheesy shit a few weeks ago. That's a chocolate I don't pull out of the box. What we're doing. The BMW GT3 is one I don't pick.
And honestly, I used to hate the Mercedes, and now that's what I'm going to. Sound is nice.
Do you own a Lamborghini yet?
Yeah, I've had it.
There's something you don't even own that you're.
It's the Porsche GT4 right now.
Oh, okay.
It's the only thing I don't own.
I like it. So what's the next mega event? The next thing everybody's gearing up for?
Majors Le Mans.
You know what? We've given them a lot of talk on here on the show, but. For something that's not official, if you any official special event, you jump on hosted sessions for a month before the event, you see practices, lots of practices, open and closed. This week, I'm already seeing open and closed Le Mans practices. So yet again, for the third year running now, right? Yeah, 2-3 years. I'd love to know. I mean, we're going to know a number, I guess, but that's a healthy percentage of the iRacing road racing community that are into this. There's no question about that based on just hosted sessions and practices that we're seeing right now.
Yeah, and hopefully the majors runs quite a few themselves, but yeah, like, good seeing them up now so we can at least jump in some early. But yeah, it's, like I said, it's just such an event. Like, people get really worked up for it. Like I said, the iRacing thing, like, people, I can understand why people go really hard for it, but it's like, it really says something about the majors that people take it in the same light. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be a lot of people who don't normally race in the series who are already practicing, and like, this is the Le Mans event for the year.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same or more weight as an iRacing special event. You know, we've talked plenty about the Indy kind of fill in, so I'm not going to go into that anymore, but that just kind of speaks to it. It's building up. I mean, it all is back to back here, but yeah, I mean, those little challenge coins. I mean, who doesn't want a little trinket? We all just want little trinkets to collect.
Don't we ever?
Don't, yeah, we want,
don't we? We're all at heart, we're all on in field day in elementary
give
school.
Me, yeah, give
we
me
want a shiny. We want a ribbon that says first, second, or third place.
I finished second in the sack race with Bradley and Rob.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I beat you in the 100-yard dash, Rob. Give me my coin.
Yeah.
Give me I want to take my coin home to my mom and show her.
I want my red ribbon. Did you win any of those awards in grade school?
Oh, I win the 3-legged race every year by myself.
I don't know if people could pick up the wink that
Rob did there. We're going to put this clip on the Instagram. Don't worry. That clip's going online, Rob.
You reskate bastard, you.
For the sad thing is, for a moment, I had to think about that.
The wink is what got me there because I was trying to work it out in my head. Like, what? Yeah. How did Rob do that? How did he?
Give me a few seconds. Yeah,
think about it. He's been racing since fifth grade. I think with that,
Rob should probably have seen a physician about that.
I think with that, that's a perfect transition into the dark part two of the show. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. And I don't know what we'll talk about in the second half. We'll jump around. Maybe jump around to some Indy 500 talk.
Patty Stein in.
Yeah, we might try to get Patty Stein back in here if we can find him, and maybe get some pre Indy 500 talk. Maybe something like that. We'll see.
That's true. This is the last show before the Indy 500.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where we go. Second half.
We got to set that up.
Yeah, you never do know. Second half. We'll be right back here on the show.
Go anywhere. More Into the Apex is coming up.
Tired of getting caught up in the mayhem of turn one? So are we. Although we can't protect you from disasters in iRacing, we can protect you and your family from mayhem on the road or at home. The Allstate Javicki Agency proudly protects families in Ohio and Pennsylvania. Give John a call today at 412-561-6239. Mention Mad Sim Racing and Into the Apex when calling to receive a gift card with a qualified quote, no purchase necessary. That's the Allstate Javicki Agency, covering Ohio and Pennsylvania, 412-561-6239. This episode is brought to you by the racing fans at Great Hire HR. Whether you're hiring one employee or 100, Great Hire will let you keep doing what is important, running your business. For more information, visit greathirehr.com. You've just achieved your greatest accomplishment as a sim racer. Now what? Don't let it become just another stat you never see. Alien Awards is a service run by and for sim racers, creating clearly printed plaques on solid surfaces, something you can display proudly to mark a major victory and show off your team and sponsors. Whether you're an individual driver looking to create a memory or a league owner looking to take your season to the next level, Alien Awards can help. These are quality awards, I know because I've won one. There are no setup or design fees, and shipping in the U.S. is free. Take your sim racing career to new heights. Visit alienawards.net. This episode is also brought to you by Bad Weather Brewing Company, located in St. Paul, Minnesota. Bad Weather Brewing Company serves up craft beers such as the Fog of War Hazy IPA or the Immortal Toast Infused White Stout, and some of the best designed cans you'll see, by the way. For the tap list and to grab your mug, visit badweatherbrewery.com. This episode of Into the Apex is brought to you by our partners at Track Racer.
Since 2008, Track Racer has been designing and pioneering the best value, high-end gaming platforms and accessories. Track Racer products are made from the highest quality materials that offer unsurpassed durability. Track Racer is supported by recognizable names such as Haley Deegan, Ross Chastain, Alex Pillow, and Alpine F1 Team. Check them out through the link on our website, intotheapex.com, and support the show today.
Into the Apex part two, the dark side of the moon, if you want to call it that.
Part dose.
Yeah. And Patrick Stein, Patty Cakes.
Patty Cakes is
Patty
here.
Cakes is joining us here in the studio. Rob and Tyler and Bradley still here with you. Patrick's dragging himself in here at the final hour, wearing a Corvette racing jersey shirt, which I do appreciate. Pat, good to have you in here this week, because we're not going to see you next week, even though you're only up the road from Indianapolis. We can't get you to come to the Indy 500.
Why is that, Patrick?
Yeah, why is that?
I'm recouping funds, first off.
True.
Second off,
is it the crowd?
It happens every year.
Is it the crowd? Everything happens. You happen every year, Patrick.
Yeah, everything happens every year.
Yeah. You happen every
year. You're really just walking into something here.
What am I walking into?
He's replenishing funds. It happens every year.
just keep lining it up. Keep lining it up. And then I'm just going to hit one out of the fucking park.
He'll go to this next year.
Yeah, we'll do it next year. Next year.
Next year, because there was already an event recently that...
You know, it's not like, you know, one of our good friends just got married in Mexico.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Fuck.
Hey,
Patrick, did you get your lovely thank you letter for attending the Mexico wedding?
Oh, but of course.
It was hand signed, beautifully written, a customized note. Tyler, did you get your thank you? Oh, wait, you didn't fucking go. What did it say?
Wait, hold on a second.
Where is Patrick's going? Running like a schoolboy.
He's up.
Patrick kept it handy.
He has
That's
it.
What he's doing.
He has his letter, his thank you letter.
He's opening it. All right, hold it up. Do some ASMR. Hold it up to the
microphone.
It's
got our lovely co-host Rob on it.
It's a picture of Rob on.
We were there for that picture to be taken. You know that.
And with a custom note?
Yes.
I assume it's from Mrs. Rob writing
it.
I don't think Rob's handwriting.
Read it for me, Patrick.
No offense, Rob.
It's private. He's not going to read it to you.
That's private.
Read your own,
Tyler. Tyler, if you would have gone, you would have gotten your own private note.
Read me the note.
No.
Why don't you suck your own dick?
Rob,
you didn't get a fucking passport.
Rob, were the notes different for everybody, or was it generic?
Yeah, they're all personal.
Yes, they were all personal.
Are you serious?
Mine was personal.
Yes.
No note for you.
So, Tyler.
The whole evening, drinking and writing.
We were discussing off air, me and Rob, on the break.
Okay.
What is it going to take? And I know we beat this to death, but we actually haven't gotten to the point. What's it going to take for you to get your passport? Speaking of domestic races, the Indy 500, the Watkins Glen race, 6 hours, Mid-Ohio.
Going to Canada.
I swear to God, guys, if Ohio announced they were seceding from the Union and Mid-Ohio was in a foreign country, this motherfucker would get his passport because he has a hard-on for mid-fucking Ohio.
I don't think he would. That's too much work for him. That's too much work.
I think he would. Because every other word out of his mouth when I'm with him is Mid-Ohio. Like, it's a fine track. It's not better than VIR, which is an hour and a half away.
That really cuts.
Bradley spends a week in Mexico and acts like he just fucking forgot about VIR.
Fuck you, but VIR is a fine establishment. Mid-Ohio's,
Hey, Bradley, if VIR seceded from the Union, you'd be able to go because you have a passport.
What was that?
No, nothing.
I heard you.
Fun fact about VIR, they broke ground, but they opened a tent casino in Danville, Virginia, right next to VIR.
Did they really?
Yeah. Look at it. It's a Caesars.
It's a Caesars. It's illegal there.
No, it's legal now.
So yes, we can go gamble.
Betting is legal, yes.
In a month.
Yeah. Wow. It's a literally a long tent facility in Danville, Virginia, just next to where VIR is at. And it's got slots, guys, and cards and all that crap.
Guys, Tyler's going to have another Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah, maybe.
Did you
so
say it was a tent casino?
Yeah, it's a temporary. Yeah. Look it up.
Yeah.
Look it up.
I got one down the street from me.
Look up Caesars, Danville, Virginia. They're going to build. It's going to be really nice once it's built, but that's, I tell you what, the crowd that goes to see the races at VIR, the SRO, and the IMSA, it's going to be another thing to do. It just kind of spices it up a bit.
So Tyler, go to that before he goes to get a passport.
I will, probably, yeah. Did you say it'll be another Birmingham, Alabama?
Yes, the Caesars.
Did we talk about Birmingham?
Yes, I think we did.
Did we?
Yeah.
No, there's no way that we aired that.
We didn't air that.
I don't think we aired everything.
Probably shouldn't.
Not everything. Yeah, do we? You shouldn't. You probably shouldn't.
No.
No.
Should I do it on the bonus?
If Rob is telling you to
pump the brakes,
think about what you're doing here. Yeah, pump them fucking brakes.
And Rob's usually the one that says, put the foot on the gas.
This is when I went by myself to the Barber IndyCar race last May.
And, which we will never allow
something,
again.
Something happened.
We will never allow that to happen again.
Well, I was something by happened, myself right. Unsupervised. Maybe on the bonus content for maybe I'll be a
if you want
cheap
to.
Fucking hat.
And if you're willing to pay to hear us, there we go. That's yeah.
Is that
good
fair?
Paywall right there.
Is that
yeah.
fair?
It's a good
yeah.
paywall.
If you're willing to pay for
$1,
it,
that's a late night feature.
Yeah.
It's a late night.
I'll do it. Indeed. I'll do it tonight. I'll do a bonus content tonight after this.
Be subscribing, foles.
Yeah, go into theapex.com. We're gonna be. Just I'm gonna
off the rails.
I'm gonna be whores, and let me just say this bit, whore, it plays into it perhaps. I don't know.
You gotta throw people off the trail a little bit, yeah. though.
No, so I mean, say, I didn't break the law, I don't think.
No, definitely.
Yeah,
not.
I didn't, but yeah. I just feel bad. So yeah, I don't give a, I don't care. I'm yeah, probably not on the main feed, Rob. You're right. Yeah. But let's keep it.
If you want to pay a dollar for a month, yeah. then you can hear why Tyler's getting a vasectomy because he went to a strip club in Birmingham.
There's your teaser.
And we're just.
And now, here's the thing. That. Now people can just choose what part kernel of that is true.
Yeah.
Like, I got to fucking figure it out now.
Let you yourself be the judge.
What were we talking about? The Indy 500s next week. That's what we were starting to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually you guys got to go. This is my third straight year. I've continued to say after that first send it year that it was COVID year, of course, 2021, that I don't want to miss another one. I mean, it's just something that I can't imagine not being there. I've been watching, had the practices on IndyCar Radio all week, on Peacock, just on the background. I mean, I've just every way I could get hyped for it. It's the way I used to get hyped as a high schooler. When I was younger, for the Daytona 500, and it just doesn't that race doesn't hit me like it used to. This race now does, and that's just the way I've evolved as a motorsport fan. I'm not knocking one or the other. I never used to get into the Indy 500, so I've just kind of flopped around. Bradley, it's going to be your.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, I'm just going to say, Bradley, it's your second year going.
Yeah, I have.
How do you feel going into it now?
I mean, I have. It's you always have that fear that you're going to be chasing the high of the first time you did anything. And I mean, I had such a great time, and obviously that was a special and important time and race for us. It was our first trip and race and event after our mom. So there was just something about that particular time that will not be the same this year, but in a way, I mean, I'm excited to one, be sat in a different place, and hoping for as good weather as we had last year, maybe a little less hot, but I'm excited for the whole experience again of being down there. We talked before about how actually, in hindsight and walking away, I had a great time, but there was not as quite as much to do in the little town of Speedway. But I just for some reason I want to find more things to do, and it's right now would be the time for us to like plan things that we couldn't do when we were there. We tried to go do that indoor karting, and it was sold out.
I don't know if there's much you could do about that. I mean,
I know we found a sim racing center live on the air here.
Yeah.
So I mean, there are things to do if we take ourselves outside of that small area.
Patrick and I did the indoor karting for the Indy 8 hours, which was
adding a little.
It wasn't.
Do you want to do the same exact thing we did last year?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like meet Cody at that restaurant and then walk up to Daredevil or walk up and down the street look for some. We got some samples of Screwball.
We got some ice cream. Did we get ice cream?
It's like a couple of grown men.
You're gonna say
we
twinks.
Got it. I was.
You're gonna say twinks, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
I know, what Tyler talks about doing, just walking around and being there. That's like half of the whole experience when you do these things. Like, there's certain cities. Like, there's races go to a lot of different places.
Yeah.
But there's certain cities that could get completely taken over by a race. And obviously, this is going to be one for here. I think Montreal here is a great example with F1. Like, there's just certain cities where it's just like the whole city, there's race shirts everywhere. Yeah. There's just a certain buzz to it.
Oh, yeah.
So
the buzz.
There's not going to be any wrong answer to what you do.
Yeah, well, no. And that was what last year, honestly, and I have a compilation of pictures and video I took from last year that I've been looking at lately to kind of hype myself up. And a lot of it was atmospheric. It was the
atmosphere.
Yeah, the parking, just the people walking around, the number of people walking, the exotic, interesting cars and rides and things going on. And just a lot of it is the race day is exciting, but the day, like that Friday or that Saturday when everyone's rolling in and you just see the buzz,
lot,
you feel the
lot
buzz.
Lot 40, which is where we've always been.
There's just something about all of it where it's some of it's tedious, but at the end of the day, it is all exciting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just want, and just the knowing that when you're there, you're on the ground at this major, I mean, it is the largest spectator event in the world. There's no event in the entire world on this planet that gathers as many people. That's what I read on Wikipedia, Rob. Don't give me that fucking face.
How many minutes before did Tyler make that edit?
What?
Wikipedia. That's a Wikipedia. Rob, anyway. You can't be doing Wikipedia.
How many people does it hold?
300,000.
300,000.
I always thought the University of Michigan or whatever.
I don't know. Let's find out.
Was the most populated stadium.
Largest. Let's Google this live. Largest.
Indianapolis Motor Speedway is the most.
Spectator.
I mean, it makes sense.
Sport in the U.S.
Boatload of people. There's a music festival that's going on inside the Snake Pit and all that. I mean, the stands alone are incredible.
It's got to be almost 250,000.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's
probably
a lot.
So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they get like 300,000-400,000 out to Austin F1, too. Like,
yeah.
Depends on, like, you know, I mean, there's some tracks that can hold a lot of people.
Yeah.
Still looking.
Bradley's still Googling.
Let's just say it's the biggest
event. It is. I was right. You were right. Don't fact check me.
You're vindicated.
I was right.
I mean, it's one
it's
that
a
Rob,
big place.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I mean, Rob was aiming to go in there last year, and it just didn't quite get put together at the last minute there.
No, it wasn't last year.
I think it was last year. Yeah, yeah. You were aiming to go, and it just didn't.
Your third year, isn't it?
This is the third year for me.
Oh, right. Yeah, I was going to go the second. I think it was COVID, I think, that made it difficult.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
COVID. The Canadians had a COVID fight for longer than we did.
No, you didn't.
Well, you seem to have a lot of troubles, bud.
Well, it's only until... Okay, we're not going to get it. We're just not.
Air Canada sure did seem...
In the peak of it, yes, but you guys only stopped needing us to have prove we were vaxxed to get in like a few months
ago. Oh, it was our country's fault. Well,
you guys made it hell to get
in. Oh, well, we as Americans had an easy time. That's what I'm trying to say. Sorry, Canadians and other folks, but we had it easy. We were doing whatever we wanted. Patrick?
Capacity of Indianapolis Motor Speedway is, with the permanent seating, 235,000.
It was close.
Yeah, but
that's not the biggest event.
But if you include the
snake
stuff in the infield, you're looking at almost 400,000.
It's the largest single-day event attended by...
Yeah, single-day, true. I guess a lot of the statistics you hear a lot of times are over race weekend. Yeah. So, single-day, probably.
You count the snake
pit. And it makes
sense.
It makes sense because our experience last year, and I'm sure yours before,
well, it wasn't,
the time it takes...
What we saw last year was not what I saw in 2021. There was no festival inside.
Oh, because of COVID.
And it was a little bit reduced.
But last year, the time it took to get in and out, that I've been to a lot of crowd events. Nothing ever like that in my life. It literally took 3 to 4 hours to get out.
Yeah.
Well, it was a little faster.
We'll talk about this next week with Cody at the brewery. We're going to do a little bit of a experience preview, but there are some things. There are basically some obvious tips, and I'm just going to withhold that because I want to get into that next week when we're actually there. I want to do kind of a, relatively speaking, we're still rookies at this. There are folks that that have been there for decades, but we're going to give our take, at least for a couple of us 3 years in, our take of how to approach the experience. So I'm going to save that for next week, but there are ways to navigate that, I think, that are pretty obvious. But anyhow, I'm pumped for it. It's one of those things that it's like, oh, it's here already. We're already ready to hit the road, and I'm so ready for a road trip because we have such a lag between Daytona. Daytona was the Rolex 24 was all of our big road trip. I mean, hell, Bradley posed the question or the prospect of chasing the high of one of these events. I mean, the first time you go, you're kind of trying to predict and picture what it's like. For me, I'm watching YouTube videos, and I'm not talking broadcast videos. When I'm trying to hype myself, I want to find YouTube videos that people have taken on their cell phones or something from a spectator's point of view. And that's, you know, I want to hear that kind of raw audio. It's just how I get myself pumped. I don't know about anybody, you guys, but I mean, for all of us, we're all in the same boat for the Rolex 24. We all hit it for the second time this year. Did it lose any of its luster? Did it gain? I mean, is it just...
No.
It stands alone. Rob, you're muted, sir.
It was way better this year.
Was it? Yeah, I think it was.
Oh, yeah, way better. Because, like, the first year, there was... Not only was there COVID, a lot of people didn't want to travel. Like, we had people even on our team who were planning to come and bailed out the last second.
Yeah, it was a little more rough.
It was cold as shit.
Well, yeah, the weather... Yeah, we...
It was, like, the cold weekend in, like, a decade.
Yeah.
At the time. So it was freezing cold. And then this year... It was warm as hell, and it was the highest attendance ever.
Yeah.
Full grid. There was just like an energy to the place. It was easier to stay late into the night.
We did last longer, no question about it.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be shocked. Like, just really all depends, right? There's a lot of things. Like, just the crowd itself and the people you're around might make the race. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, I think that's true. I do.
Yeah, I would agree. And there's just something, like I said, there's something I do. I don't. Me and Tyler, we're twins,
we're strange.
We have a lot of the same things, and they are strange.
Yeah.
There's a thing I do anytime I go to a major race like Daytona, like the Indy 500, that I know I'm going to do, and I'm curious if you guys do this too. Of course, me and him are both strange. There's moments. There are different moments that I look forward to. And then when I'm there, like when I was in Daytona and we were just sitting up there watching the start and just watching kind of as the sunset, I would just kind of look up and take stock and be like, I'm here. Like I'm in this moment and I want to remember this being here in person like 2 weeks from now. And then 2 weeks from then I'll be sitting at my place and I'll try to lock into that one moment, that one memory that I had of, you know, remember the sensation and the feeling of what it was like to sit there and be there on the ground and not watch on TV. Like, could you guys ever, because I will say this, Tyler made this point to me the other day, I don't know where we were, it would be strange now to watch the Indy 500 on TV. So for you guys, could you ever imagine yourself watching the Daytona 24 on TV again and not be there?
Yeah.
You could? God damn it, you took my romanticism away, Rob.
No, I get your whole thing.
I disagree.
You're more or less preaching mindfulness. You're like in the moment. Yeah. And you're trying to...
I'm trying to make a beautiful point here, and Rob's like, no, I could...
I'm just
I could
being realistic. Like, are you honestly telling me if you weren't at the Indy 500 this year for whatever reason, and it was on TV...
Would you want to?
Yes, I would watch it. I would watch it, Rob. But I would have I would have a...
I'm not saying I wouldn't.
I would have a bottomless pit at the bottom of my stomach the whole time. I'd be like... This is not how this is supposed to be right now. I'm not supposed to be where I am, comfortable in my recliner, having a beverage.
I tried to make a whole romantic point, and Rob killed my vibes.
I agree. I think those are the two events for me, the Daytona 24 and the Indy 500. If I'm not there every year, I feel like I'm fucking it up.
But honestly, anymore, Watkins Glen and Petit Le Mans feel like that.
You start out in these events, and then bankruptcy is right around the corner, folks.
Yeah, I felt like that way about Petit at first. I was like, oh, I'm never missing this again.
You did.
Yeah, and then you did.
Well, I missed it because of a fucking hurricane.
Well, there's a story
that didn't happen, and then Bradley lied about going.
I'm like, I'm not going. I'm not there.
Yeah,
I'm just hanging out for the weekend. I was there
all goddamn weekend. Bradley's like, oh,
I was at Petit, and he was fine.
A month later, I found out
me and Cody were at Petit Le Mans.
Eat my ass, all he is.
Me and Cody hanging with Chris Wold at Petit Le Mans.
Jesus,
it was actually a beautiful race. It was a great time.
Well, guys, let's wrap this studio episode up and let's hit the uh, let's pause and let's do a little bonus sub content. I'm gonna tell this Birmingham story. I don't give a shit. I'm gonna do that for the subscribers. That's on intoftheapex.com. We're gonna whore it out. It supports the show.
Give us your 99 cents.
99 cents.
Hand us your 99 cents.
Bart from
you're
your
not
mother.
Doing nothing with it. Bart, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna go do? Go buy an ice cream somewhere?
Yeah you can't get it. Yeah, it's cheaper than a Reese's.
You can't get
cup.
Nothing for 99 cents.
Cheaper than a Snickers,
except for a little bit of this show.
A little bit of the show.
Get it before it becomes $2.
Exactly. You stingy bastards.
Yeah. Don't put anything above the Beeman Bros. Yeah. Tell you that.
Yeah.
They're shackles.
Our shackles. Don't give
we count our shackles.
And our shackles, folks.
When I go in my room, I just sit there and count my riches.
Yeah. As gold coin.
My shackles.
I don't think you guys will realize how offensive that is. You're definitely going to
offend
if,
okay. Only you're the one thinking about
it's
what it means.
It's definitely time to chop this off and head over to a paywall.
There you go. All right.
So next week, we'll be at Indianapolis on Saturday, the day before the Indianapolis 500. Coming live from the Daredevil Brewery with Cody Richardson, our Indianapolis correspondent, you could say. We'll be there having beers and pizza.
Hopefully joined by some other
folks. Hopefully joined by some guests.
Hey, if you're listening, come meet us.
Come meet us if you're going to be there. Check our social media because we will put up exactly when we're there, but it's going to be after lunchtime. I can tell you that. It's going to be around noon to 3 because they start to play live music and that'll become a problem. So it's going to be earlier in the day. It's going to be a hot one. So get your sunscreen.
I hope it is.
I think so.
How do we know?
Forecasts, Bradley. Weather. Yeah.
It's the year 2023.
Okay. We'll be back in 2 weeks in the studio. Next week, we're on the road. Don't miss it. We're going to get that episode out on Saturday night before the actual Indy 500. So keep an eye out for that. If you're going to the gym or you're on the go late Saturday evening or Sunday morning, we'll give you a little taste of what it's like over there at Indy for the Indy 500. All right. Catch us next week. IndyTheApex.com. This has been Indy Apex Podcast.
You've been listening to Into the Apex.
From Mad Sim Racing Media.
Check out the show's upcoming road trips and join the community at IntoTheApex.com.